Perfect. So, welcome everybody. My name is Simon Künzer. I'm the project founder actually of Unicraft and lead maintainer there. I'm also CTO and co-founder of Unicraft GmbH, which is a commercial open source company using the Unicraft project for building a new cloud. You saw some aspects actually from Razvan's talk. This was like three talks earlier than mine. Here I'll go really now into much more technical details, how it looks like on the kernel side. So this is much more OS class here, what I'm doing. So first of all, briefly, wave your hands up, your hand up if you know what a unikernel is. Good. Okay. So then I do it here really quick. In the end, what we are doing is turning an application into a kernel by using something that we call operating system libraries that are directly baked to an application, and we run that as a virtual machine so that we're all on the same page. For especially the Unicraft project, what's for us important is the aspect of single purpose. So we do specialization and saying the OS layers are built just for that particular application that you're interested in. And that allows you a lot of optimizations that you can do. For instance, we do single address space because we run one application in one kernel. We have a really small TCP and a small memory footprint. Behind the scenes, we have something that we call the micro library pool. So you have decomposed OS functionality. As library available. So this is, for instance, scheduling, file systems, then libraries that do Linux or POSIX APIs, so that is programming with that environment. So it's kind of an SDK. The current project focus is on Linux compatibility, because our vision is actually we want seamless application support for existing Linux applications. And since most software is written for Linux, especially for the cloud, we want to remove as many obstacles that we can do for running them on top of Unicraft. And one aspect, as Vasim was showing, is the tooling side. We have actually two approaches from the kernel side. We can do application compatibility natively, meaning you take the sources of your application, compile it together with the libraries of your kernel. But we can also do binary compatibility, and this is what I'm going to speak about here. Where we provide the Linux ABI to the application. So we do system calls, VDSOs, et cetera, to support a pre-compiled application. And now I'm going over these individual steps. So first of all, when you build a kernel and want to make that supporting running a Linux application, what you need to understand, or the kernel needs to understand, is the ELF format. Running that application off is actually a pretty straightforward process. So you need to first be able to pass the ELF, load it in your memory space. Then you need to prepare an entrance stack. This is all specifications that you need to look up and fill out the specific vectors and values in there, and then jump to the entrance. And then that application is working. The only interaction that you will then, from that time on, have with the application are actually system calls. There's two interesting things. One interesting thing here regarding loading ELF applications. So you have something called non-PI applications and something called PI applications. So meaning non-position independent and non-position independent and position independent. The non-position independent, they dictate you the address layout in your unikernel. And since we want to run everything with a single address space, means we can support only one non-PI application. The beauty of PI is we can relocate the application in the address space, so we can still work with a single address space, but can run multiple applications if we want. And if we going a bit more further with the original reason why PI is now pretty common in operating systems, we could even apply with that single address space full stack ASLR, where we mix kernel libraries and application libraries completely spread it in the address space. I give you some more readings when you download the slides, but basically in the project we are focusing on Pi applications, since most of them, at least the last 5 years, is the standard when you get a pre-compiled binary from the distro.
Except for threaded node.
System calls. So we are in a single address space. We have a pre-compiled binary from Linux, and we want to run it. So we have to do system calls. This is actually a long pipeline that we need to run. It starts with a syscall instruction. So note here, this is now x86 specific. But that instruction usually takes care of a protection domain switch from ring 3 to ring 0. But we run in a single protection domain. Actually, we don't need that, so we go from ring 0 to ring 0. But yeah, we need to execute that instruction. Then Linux requires us to have an own kernel side stack, especially language environments like Go. They don't give you a big enough stack that you can just continue executing on the kernel side, so you need to switch. In reality, of course, if you have an application that has a big enough stack, you could also configure Unicraft to get rid of this step. Then, at the moment, we are using full CPU features also on the Unicraft side. It's mainly coming from for supporting native applications where basically addressing the kernel is just a function call, so why would you restrict your CPU features? If you don't compile it with that, then you can also remove that step. But if you do that in the default option, we need to save and restore that state 2 of your CPU. Then we have a TLS switch, which we really require because we use the TLS for our OS libraryization. Sorry, because we didn't want to have a central big TCP control structure where we need to maintain every particular field. We want to have everything cleanly decomposed, so the TLS was the way to go for that. Yeah, and then actually we're able to call the system call handler. And that brings you to the question, does it have to be that complicated? Do we need to do really so many steps? Isn't there something we can do a bit better with a single address space? And actually there is. And there is this mechanism called VDSO, and also kernel v syscall. This is an old thing. So the VDSO basically for us is just a catalog to look up kernel symbols. So this is a way for us to provide the function addresses to the application that the application can directly call, because again, single address space, single protection domain. We don't need to do a switch. The second thing is the kernel v syscall symbol, which was a standardized symbol in the past, mostly for x86 when CPUs were introduced to do sysenter and syscall instead of interrupt-driven system calls. That was a way for the OS to tell the application how to enter the kernel more efficiently. For us, we can use it as a function call to directly jump in the system call handler. So it's no trap, no interrupt, no privileged domain switch, no need to save and restore of extended registers, because even that is covered by the systemv calling convention. And the idea here is we just need to patch the libc shared library of that application, and then most system calls anyways go through the libc because they provide wrappers there, and then we have that covered. So in comparison, no expensive syscall instruction anymore, it's just a function call. The stack maybe we need it, depends still. No floating point registers, whatever, we don't need to save anymore. And the TLS register we need to switch still. Okay. Now we're getting to this fork dilemma, how I call it. This is like always the bad word for unikernel people. So this is a bit of OS class here. So you probably remember fork means duplicating the address space of your application so that everything is at the same address. Problem with this is it's a second address space. I don't want a second address space. I want everything flat in a single address space to save time in context switches or TLB flushes, right? So
doesn't work.
What we actually would need in a Unicorn environment is a fork version that forks the application to a different address. Unfortunately, without compiler support, that's not that easy. You could, of course, copy the memory region, but you need to then start patching your application because you have absolute addresses in there, like return addresses on stacks, pointer addresses, etc. So don't work that great. But what we can do, what the question is when you look at the applications, their compilers position independent. In principle, the result is that I can run multiple applications in a single address space. It's just that this model with fork and exec doesn't fit, you would say, because we have this fork intermediate step. And luckily, there was also, this was coming from, let's say, a bit older generations of Linux, when they were trying to run Linux on targets without MMU. There's a system called vfork that it allows you that. It's a bit of a funky fork call because it doesn't fork, actually. It just pauses your parent and allows you to execute within the memory space of the parent, the child, for a short period of time, actually until the child calls either exit or one of the execution functions to load a new application binary. And that is basically our solution for running, you know, multiple applications or like a shell or something, where the shell forks, you load a position-independent binary anyway in the next step, then you have it in a different address area and you execute. What we want to try out here is if that mechanism works great for, if you could just replace the fork system call number internally with a vfork and see for how many applications that works great, because they were doing fork exec before, and for how many that does work. Where it obviously won't work is for applications that just use fork to open up worker processes. But just for this fork exec model, that works. Okay, and then the last point is a bit.
Seven minutes.
Okay, I really rushed through. I was preparing, checking. Okay, I can't say this. There's no time. So here I wanted to give you a bit of an overview of what we did the last year when we looked at different applications, and we're always in front of that question. We need to have Linux compatibility, but at the same time, we don't want to re-implement Linux, right? And there are some aspects where it's really tricky. For instance, the first one is a really interesting example. It's about querying from the kernel side, network interfaces, or setting up routing tables, etc. So get if address and co, which normally needs a complete subsystem of sockets to be implemented, and then on top an own protocol called Netlink, just to do this user space kernel interaction for gathering that information. An alternative here could be, of course we implemented that, but an alternative here could be also to make use of the VDSO again, patch the libc, and do more direct calls for just querying the IP address from the kernel that is currently set. Another interesting point is applications that are so mean that implicitly rely on a specific behavior on Linux. And a really funny example is preemptive scheduling that you come across from time to time. So far we have cooperative scheduling in Unicraft because that's a really efficient for us scheduling way to do things. You port something like FrankenPHP or MySQL, and they use busy waiting loops to wait for other threads to wake up. With a cooperative scheduler, you can imagine what happens. Basically nothing, because you're constantly busy waiting, but never give another thread a chance to pop up. Then there is this whole topic about which system calls you need to support, which ones you can stop, which one need to be completely implemented. It's actually true that you can stop a lot. You don't need all of them. I would here refer you to a nice paper from ASPLOS. Actually, last year, FOSDEM, the authors were giving a presentation here too about how to figure out which system calls you need to implement. Of course, it's also sometimes here application dependent, but there is a, you don't need to implement all of the Linux system calls to have Linux compatibility. There are really a lot of system calls that are really specific to some cases or setting up C groups or whatever, which normal applications don't use. And then, of course, the whole topic about file system hierarchy standard, where, of course, applications expect you have something under proc or under etc or somewhere. So far, we were able to go around that by providing a meaningful filled text file for the application, especially the proc file system, without implementing that yet. And that worked for Nginx, Node.js, Redis, HA proxy, and a lot of other number of applications. Okay. So now I rushed so fast through this, I'm sorry. So we have time for some questions. I guess there's some stuff to more for more clarity. We are an open source project. These are the resources where you can find us. And you can also, see that I put here GraphCloud, that logo. This is what we currently try to build with our company, which is a cloud that uses the beauty of unikernels for really fast bootups, high resource efficiency for serverless architectures, microservices, function as a service, etc.
Unfortunately, just 2 minutes for the questions, but still, are there any questions?
So when you run everything in a single address space, do you actually need to enable paging at all?
So yeah, with the CPU, actually we need to enable paging, but it allows you to build a page table at compile time, and then it's just switching that page table on during boot. What additionally happens with Linux applications is that they're sometimes doing mmap calls and mapping here something or a file there. Of course, if you enable that support, then you need some kind of dynamic page table handling. But if you don't need that, you have the opportunity to have a compile time page table.
So we don't have the time to discuss it, but I was wondering, if you have paging, wouldn't you be able to use copy on write to deal with the fork dilemma? Maybe something to think about.
Yeah, of course we do also copy on write where you need it. The thing is, what we still want is a single address space. So that page table is, basically you have just one page table, another page table per application. You don't have this page table switches, no TLB flushes, right? So this is where we gain actually a lot of performance also from. And since we say we are a single application, we run only one thing, why do I need to handle, right? Everything that runs in the unique kernel is defined to be trusted, and you have then the hard isolation boundaries outside from the hypervisor environment to protect anything that is going bad or an overtaken unique kernel, for instance.
If you write protect the data pages of a process that does fork, you can actually detect processes that don't use vfork exec that mm-hmm. do actually fork to share memory, and you would be able to detect that.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, I would just add to that because you would have the multiple other spaces just for a short while, so it's not really a performance issue, right?
Yeah, it's like two kinds: it's implementation effort and. But yeah, I see your point.
Also, for the non-position independent applications, I mean, if you have a choice not supporting multiple of them and having multiple address spaces, I mean, why not go for multiple address spaces? It does not invalidate the unikernel idea.
No, it doesn't.
Okay.
It just comes with some cost, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. We have to switch to another talk. Thanks again.